Well, it's very appropriate that our readings are about the end times as we come to the end of the liturgical year. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King, which is the last Sunday of the church's year before we begin our new liturgical year on the first Sunday of Advent. And so our readings, especially our gospel, focus us in on what the Lord Jesus teaches us about the end of time, which it coincides, of course, with his second coming, with his coming again in glory. This part of theology is called eschatology. That's the fancy theological word for it. It comes from the Greek word eschaton, which just means the end. So it's the study of the last things. You know, last week we talked about resurrection, which is one of those last things. When Jesus comes again in his glory, the dead will rise from the grave and be reunited with their bodies. And so he tells us more about the end times. And, you know, there's some fearful things in this gospel, to tell you the truth. The just recently canonized St. John Henry Newman, who lived basically in the middle of the 19th century, well over 100 years ago, said that as he looked around at his world in 19th century England, he saw all the signs that Jesus was talking about and the other signs that are mentioned in the scriptures of the second coming and of the end of the world, except for the presence of the Antichrist. Other than that, he saw all of that. And I think a lot of these things, we see a lot of them right now, don't we? Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place. And awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. I think we could check off all of those things pretty much. So one of the things we need to know, of course, about the end times is that we don't know when they are, and they actually could come at any time, at any moment. On the other hand, the early Christians were very excited about this thought. But the end of the world, not because they look forward to trials and tribulations, but because they look forward to seeing Jesus. If everything is all about Jesus, then you'd be very excited to see him again, and he's coming again. The last words of Scripture basically are, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And so again, it's a wonderful preparation for the season of Advent, you know, when we focus very much on the coming of Christ, not only his first coming in the incarnation, but also his second coming. But let's reflect a little bit on the end times, on the ends of things. It's very important that we remember that time does have an end. It has a point to it. We're not just, you know, going along with no end in sight. There is an end. There is a point to all of this. When I was in high school, I had a teacher, he was my junior English teacher, and he would used to talk to us about when we would, you know, not do particularly well on something like our vocabulary quizzes or something like that, and he would say, "Gentlemen, you are not here to slug it out for mediocrity. We are here to sprint for glory." You know, and this was about a high school vocabulary quiz. But anyhow, but true enough. And a lot of times in this life, we can get sort of bogged down and end up sort of slugging it out for mediocrity and forgetting that our lives really, truly, literally are about sprinting for glory, the glory of heaven. And we need to, and the way we can do that is to keep our sight on the end, you know? That's what they do. Isn't that what they always tell you, like in sports a lot? You know, visualize yourself in victory, right? At the end of the race or at the end, you know, whatever it is. See where you're going. Remember the end. It's something that sometimes I like to encourage parents who might have a big family, a lot of little children at one time, that can be kind of overwhelming. And I tell them, you know, actually, and I know this not from personal experience, obviously, but by having talked to a lot of families and couples, and couples whose children are a little older, they actually say, they kind of miss those days. You know? Because they do come to an end, actually. And in the grand scheme of things, it's actually a fairly short period of time. That doesn't mean it's not hard and difficult and challenging. It is. But if you keep that end in mind, and especially the end that if you are raising a family with children, frankly, you're not raising children, are you? What is your end? You want to raise adults, don't you? That's what you want to, at the end of your raising, you want to have adults, right? Not children. So to keep that on the end. Well, what is the end of our lives? What is the end of this world? Well, actually, as any of the children here, I'm going to ask any of the school children who are here, because I ask them at the school masses a lot. I ask them questions a lot, and I say that there's an answer that's almost always right, okay, the default answer. So what is, and I want all of you all to answer this for me, please. Any of the school children here, please answer out loud so everybody can hear you. Okay, don't be afraid, don't be embarrassed. It's okay to shout it out just like you do at the school mass, okay? What is the end of our lives? What is the end of all of human history? Or maybe better, who is that? Who is it? Like you mean it. Let's try again. Yeah. Right, that sounds like you sound at Friday Mass. Jesus. You know, it's another one of those I am statements. Jesus says, I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's like saying I am A and I am Z. Okay, I'm the first and the last. Our end is Jesus. And so that's what we are supposed to be. Just like parents who have children are raising adults, actually. That's what the God the Father wants from us. At the end of the day, what he wants is Jesus. That's the goal of the Christian life. That is the goal of your life and mine. That is the goal of all of history. At the end of the world, when Jesus Christ comes again, he will gather everything up into himself to be presented to the Father. And so the more you're like Jesus, the more that you are coming, achieving your end. And you might think, oh, well, that's a long time from now. But there's another wise saying from, I think this is the great philosopher Aristotle said, if it's not Aristotle, it's somebody wise like that. The beginning, the end is determined by the beginning, right? Very often the way you end depends a lot upon how you begin. Now, fortunately, in the Christian life, it's one of the great gifts of our faith, especially through, for example, the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, we can begin again. If we've gotten off to a bad start, we can begin again and begin again and begin again. That's what conversion is. But the beginning determines the end. So don't just say, oh, I'll do that later. When the first place, you don't know that there's going to be a later necessarily. The Lord may come before this Mass is over. And in a certain sense, he is going to. On this altar, he's coming. Jesus is coming. That's what the bells mean when you hear them. Jesus is coming, all right? Or Jesus is here, actually, by that point. And are we ready? Are you going to be mistaken for Jesus? You know, that's what he talks about, people being seized and persecuted and put on trial in those trials and tribulations leading up to the last days. I know my sister, when I started out, I was doing some confirmation retreats, and I got this great little exercise to do in a retreat. I thought it was really great. And it was saying, imagine that you are on trial for being a Christian, that you've been seized and persecuted. You've been put on trial for being a Christian. Is there enough evidence to convict you? Think about that. Could you be convicted? I would hope so. Without any doubt. I hope the jury would not have to deliberate any time at all. They wouldn't even go out at all. Just say, oh, guilty. Right? But some of us maybe sort of, hedge our bets a little bit, you know? Have a foot over here and a foot over there, right? You know? Try to kind of play both sides against the middle or whatever. Like, we like to be, like, love Jesus in our hearts, but we sure don't want anybody else to know that, right? You know? We got to be all in. Because that's our end. Our end is Jesus. Just like the children told us. Those good St. Rose school children. They know the answer. Jesus. Jesus is the end. He is your end. My end. He is the end of the whole world. He's what it's all about. And the sooner we get on that path, all in, the greater our fulfillment will be. And the less we have to fear when we do get to the end.